Good morning. It's Friday, June 26th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. This summer, Ballet Wichita brings a new production of Alice in Wonderland to stages across Kansas. KMUW's Beth Golay explores the origination of Lewis Carroll's story and how it inspired Ballet Wichita's adaptation. That's coming up after the news. Nurses at two Wichita hospitals say they plan to hold a one-day strike to protest workplace safety concerns, KMUW's Roger Nomer reports.
Nurses at Ascension Via Christi St. Francis and St. Joseph voted earlier this week to hold a one-day strike on July 6th. Union leaders say hospital administration has ignored concerns about workplace security, including a call for weapons detection systems at hospital entrances. The strike notice comes after two recent safety incidents at St. Joseph Hospital. In one, a man shot himself just outside a hospital waiting room. In another, the hospital went into lockdown after police say a teenager threatened to shoot people there. Nurses have been in negotiations since March for a new contract. Union leaders say advance notice of the strike will allow hospital management to make plans for patient care during the strike. For KMUW News, I'm Roger Nomer.
Ascension officials say they plan to install weapons detection systems at Wichita hospitals in August. The Wichita Police Department arrested a 15-year-old boy Wednesday night in connection with threats made against a Wichita hospital. Via Christi St. Joseph was on lockdown for several hours Wednesday as officials addressed what they said was a security concern. Hospital staff told officers that an unknown person had called and threatened to shoot up the hospital. As a precaution, the hospital went on restricted access with emergency care still available for patients. The hospital at Harry and Hillside said no one was harmed and restrictions have been lifted. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach plans to work with the federal government to declare a state law invalid, but Governor Laura Kelly plans to intervene to defend the Kansas law that allows some non-citizen students to receive in-state tuition rates at public universities and colleges. Zach Boblett of the Kansas News Service reports.
The law applies to students that attended a Kansas high school for at least 3 years and graduated or earned a GED in the state. Kobach agrees with the DOJ argument that a 1996 federal law makes the Kansas law invalid. In her motion to intervene on behalf of the state's law, Kelly called the consent agreement between Kobach and the feds a collaborative attempt to backdoor legislate. Kansas lawmakers attempted to eliminate the law this year, but the governor vetoed it. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Wheat farmers are bracing for a rough year after drought impacted the crop in many Great Plains states. Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports.
Across the 18 states that produce winter wheat, 45% of the crop is in poor or very poor condition. Places like Kansas and Nebraska are abandoning up to a third of the state's crop. Nebraska farmer Mary Eisenzimmer says farmers put a lot of work and expenses in their crops, and it hurts to see them come up short.
The really hard part about it is there's really nothing you can do about it.
Drought hit states at the worst time, with some places like western Kansas and Nebraska getting as little as a quarter inch of rain from February through April. Eisenzimmer says that there's a potential for a wheat shortage, which could raise the price of flour products.
That's Kaylin Moore reporting. Great Plains prairies are turning into trees and shrubs. Scientists say it's time for a pragmatic approach to conserving some of these areas. Harvest Public Media's Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
The trees and shrubs taking over prairies are reducing the plant and animal diversity in many places. They're also reducing the grasses that livestock eat. So restoring these areas to grassland has long been the goal. But some scientists, including at Kansas State University, now say trees and shrubs are so prevalent in some places that it's time for a more nuanced approach in those areas. They say this will mean learning how to foster healthy mosaics of plants, basically mixes of grasses, trees, and shrubs that still support livestock as well as high levels of biodiversity. I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson, Harvest Public Media.
A former military school campus in Salina will soon be part of Salina Area Technical College. A signing ceremony today will transfer ownership of the former St. John's Military School campus from St. Francis Ministries to the Technical College. Salina Tech plans to use the site to expand its workforce development programs and potentially offer housing options for students. St. Francis Ministries took over the campus in 2019 after St. John's closed. It plans to move its corporate offices to a new location on Ohio Street in Salina. The St. John's Military School Historical Museum will remain on the campus. The school operated for more than 130 years. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
This week on Marginalia, we speak with C.J. Farley about his novel, Who Knows You by Heart.
One thing I wanted to dive into in the world of big tech that is not much discussed is that big tech, especially as you go higher and higher up the corporate food chain, is not very representative of the larger population.
Saturday morning at 11:30 on 89.1 KMUW.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Ballet Wichita is touring Alice in Wonderland across Kansas. As part of KMUW's series on the tour, Beth Golay has more on this adaptation from page to stage.
Fans of this whimsical story were likely introduced to Alice and her Wonderland the more traditional way.
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye, I'm late. No.
Walt Disney. The Disney animated version was released in 1951, and while it's old, it's not the original inspiration for this adaptation. That would be Lewis Carroll's children's novel, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, published in 1865.
Lewis Carroll gets the idea for Alice in Wonderland from a friend's daughter, Alice Little, who is a precocious child in his life, and he's just kind of inspired by her personality.
That's Dr. Katie Lanning, Associate Professor of English at Wichita State University.
And the story goes that he and his friends and the little children, there were three sisters, were in a boat going down a river. Alice kept asking Lewis Carroll, tell me a story. And so he just extemporaneously tells her this story of Alice's adventures underground, it was called at the time. And she liked it so much that at the end of the day, she asked him, can you write that down for me?
Katie Andrusak is the creative director for Ballet Wichita's Alice in Wonderland. She says both the original novel and the Disney film served as inspiration for her adaptation of the ballet.
So I did a lot of research. I read both Through the Looking Glass and Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. And growing up as a Disney kid, I felt a lot of nostalgia in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. And so that is primarily what our story follows.
And we follow that story down the rabbit hole, a metaphor so pervasive in our society that I went down a rabbit hole researching the metaphor. And what does it say about a piece of literature that has created such a commonly used metaphor? Dr. Lanning has an idea of why Alice in Wonderland has such staying power.
We are still talking about Alice in Wonderland, I think, because Lewis Carroll does something quite different in this story than children's literature had seen before that. He's writing in the 1860s. We're at the height of the Victorian period, which is very much, even in adult literature, about decorum and proper behavior. Children's books had for about a century been all about didacticism, all about lessons on how you should behave, what's the proper way to act as a child in Victorian England. And Lewis Carroll was not really interested in that.
And neither were the audiences of the time, nor audiences of today, apparently. This topsy-turvy world has captured imaginations for more than 160 years, primarily through its cast of characters.
A lot of the characters in our ballet you're going to see that are similar to the original work. So we start in the real world with Alice having a family picnic, but she ultimately falls asleep and then follows that white rabbit who's very late down the rabbit hole.
But how will audiences of the ballet know the white rabbit is very late without him saying so? And how does Andrusak adapt a book of words to a production with no words?
I tried to find ways to emulate the character that's built in the story through their rhetoric and how they interact with Alice and put that into movement.
Dr. Lanning thinks any kind of dance performance of Alice in Wonderland is really apropos.
This is such a fluid and malleable story. So much of Alice in Wonderland is about wordplay and about the flexibility of language. It's very open to changing, I suppose, in a way that I think would be beautiful rendered visually.
For KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.
Ballet Wichita's Alice in Wonderland will be at Friends University this evening and Saturday afternoon. You can find more at kmuw.org. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again on Monday. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
This week on You're Saying It Wrong.
None of us are ever going to say conterminous. We use contiguous to mean like kind of close. You
know yeah. What I mean? We talk about the distinction between what words technically mean and what they really mean to everybody else. That's this week on You're Saying It Wrong from KMUW Studios.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.